20:19. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning, the 5th of Rabi'ul Awal, 1443. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riaz Hussein. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today is the 5th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1443. We focus on chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verses 24 and 25. Yesterday we did, Almighty Allah commands me and you that we worship Almighty Allah alone. He has no partners, no associates, so we believe in monotheism. And we do good unto our parents, Muslim parents and non-Muslim parents, more so when one of them or both of them have reached their old age. Do not even tell them oof, do not tell them a word that will hurt their feelings. Wala tanharhuma, do not drive them away, and do not rebuff them and rebuke them and speaking harshly to them. No. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, and speak to them in an honorable manner, even if they are wrong. They are senile, they are old, they are sickly. Today's lesson, chapter 17, verse 24. Now, if we understand the beauty of the noble Quran, the beauty, the glory, the style and diction, the son, the daughter are flying first class, business class, staying in five-star hotels, busy with our gadgets, our email and our iPhone and A-phone and smartphone. But when you come to your parents, وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ, just see what Allah says. Lower for them, you son, you daughter, you grandchildren, lower for them your parents, جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ, the wing of humility. Be humble in front of your parents, even though you are wealthier and richer than them. You are more educated than them. You are everything in your mind better than them. Yet you must lower your wing of humility, min ar-rahma, out of mercy and compassion for them. They are your parents. Remember that so many a time people today, because children, they speak innocently, they will tell the parents, you are so stupid, you are so foolish and so forth, because they don't know how to send an email, they don't know how to use the new gadgets and so forth. So remember, we have to train our children that these type of words are totally unacceptable. Min ar-rahma, show mercy to your parents. Waqul, and say, O Muslim, say, O son, O daughter, Rabbi rahamhuma, have mercy, O my Allah, my sustainer, nourisher, have mercy on them. Kama rabbayani saghira, as they nurtured me, as they trained me, as they coached me, saghira, whilst I was a baby, whilst I was young, whilst I was in my formative years. You see what your duty is, O parents, that tarbiyah. And today we have failed. We have the C syndrome, A, B, C. What do we do today? We give them the best clothes, we give them cash, we give them CDs, we give them computers, we give them cell phones, we give them cars, we give them all the C's, but the greatest C we did not give them. And what is that? Habibuna rahmatulil alameen, the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. The greatest gift you parents can give your children, your grandchildren, is good character. character? Do we even bother about that? Today the parents are also engrossed just making money, father working, mother working, no time for the children, just leave them in the crash, leave them by the nanny, leave them by the maid, and when they complain, take this 100 rand, take the 500 rand, 1,000 rand, go, I'm very busy. So we just buy their love, we don't share the love. That is the big crime of the secular society, capitalistic society in which we are living. In the golden days, olden days, which are the golden days, our parents would then show so much love to us. We would share our dukh and sukh. We would share our happiness and joy with them and our sadness with them. Today, which parent got time? Father is busy in his business and meetings and golf and entertainment. Mother is busy with her shopping and going to malls and meeting Paul and so forth. So all the shaitaniyat, Allah forbid. So we, O sons, O daughters, learn the dua, your parents are alive. Rabbi rahamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Look at your father with love, with respect. You get and receive the reward of Hajj. One pilgrimage. Every time you see, 2, 3, 4, 70 times a day also. Allahu Akbar, Allah's khazana, Allah's treasures are unlimited. And your mother, your biological mother, remember, al-jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat, inna al-jannata inda rijliha, open Mishkat Sharif, you will find this type of hadith. Jannat lies, paradise lies under her feet. Rabbukum a'alamu bima fi nufusikum, your sustainer, nourisher, knows what is in your hearts, what is in your minds, what is your motive. You want to butter and flatter your father because you want something from him. I need 20, 30, 40,000 rand. I want to buy a car. I want to buy this. I want to buy that. We flatter our mother. Why? Because we want to get married to that girl with whom the person is having an affair. So Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So whatever our intentions are, remember that are well known to Almighty Allah. Therefore, Imam Bukhari, Allama Nawawi, Sahib Mishkat, the greatest works on hadith they brought, you must remember the first hadith and saying of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innamal a'malu bin niyat, your actions are judged according to your intention. Chase niyat waysi barakat, remember that you will see the result and the consequences. So rabbukum a'lamu bima fi nufusikum, Allah knows your motives and your intentions. In takunu salihin, if your intentions, your good, your deeds, your actions are righteous and good, fa innahu kana lil awabin ghafura, then he, Almighty Allah, is of forgiving, very forgiving, lil awabin, for those people who keep on turning towards Almighty Allah. Look at the glory and the style of the noble Quran. Awabin, ghafura, you called us mubalagha, you called us hyperbole, you called us intensive forms, awabin. Daily we are committing sins, so turn more and more to who? Ghafura, that Allah who is always prepared to forgive, that Allah who is always prepared to conceal our vices and sins. Say, O Muslim, Ya Sattar, Ya Sattar, O Allah, you are Sattar, Allahumma astur awrati wa amin ru'ati, Ya Allah, cover my shame, Ya Allah, cover my vices and sins, Ya Allah, grant me safety, security at a time of fear, Ya Allah. What a powerful, beautiful dua of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. Allahumma استر عورتي وآمن روعتي يا غفار يا غفار يا غفور يا غفور. That is Allah's attributes. يا الله, you are forever forgiving. يا الله, اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا. يا الله, forgive our previous sins, our future sins, the sins we committed in the brightness of the day, in the darkness of the night, in khalwa and jalwa, in privacy or public. Those sins we've forgotten, ya, already that we even committed it, but you know about it. Forgive everything, ya Allah. These are the beautiful, wonderful, potent du'as which the Prophet Muhammad Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah grant us tawfiq and the ability to beg Allah daily for forgiveness. Inshallah, between 11 and 12 today will be the bliss of marriage, and between 1 and 2 will be the tafsir and commentary of the noble Quran, inshallah, Aziz.
Listener says, Ustad, that I am 87 years old. Yesterday, my children bought me a blanket and put me outside in a fridge, card box, and said that this is my new home outside, dear Mufti Saab. Maulana Arafat, I slept cold outside with no lights. Can you come talk to them for me? I am an old cat now. Ustad.
Remember, if you are Muslim and you did this to your father, you did this to your parents, and we are just doing these verses here, you should be ashamed of yourself. Therefore, I always say, if I become president, prime minister, it will never happen. But this is one of the first laws I will implement. All those who dump their parents in the old age home, all these people who dump their parents outside, we will whip them and lash them in public. You must remember that. Said, how can you, even a non-Muslim, how can you do such an action? Your biological father, you dump him outside and put him on the cardboard and what? Even if he broke certain things, even if he told you certain things, remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu dhanbin insha'a fa'anhu wa insha'a dhaba. That every vice, every sin, remember that a person commits is Allah's prerogative. Either Allah forgives the person or punishes the person, illa uquq al-walidain, except when their son, daughter, grandchildren, they are disobedient to their parents, grandparents, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعَجِّلُ أُقُوبَتَهُ لِصَاحِبِي فِي الْحَيَاةِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. Allah will unleash his punishment on those children in this worldly life before death comes. I promise you, you the children, you will pay the price. They must be consequences. The bad dua, the dua that your father crying he made against you, it will have consequences. You better go and apologize and beg Allah for forgiveness and say it was a terrible mistake. You heard what your wife had to tell you, you heard what somebody else had to tell you, and you dumped your father outside. You are bare sharam and you got no shame and no, if I say you got no iman also, it'd be correct. You must remember that, meaning that the iman is decreasing all the time. Allah Jalla Wala protect us from Ameen. Such evil and such monsters.
I see there's another mother also, Ustad, as you were speaking now, she says, I'm also 79 years old, dear Mufti Saab, and I am in the old age home 5 years now. Our children hasn't visited us till now, and they're living a good life, Ustad.
Look at that. When I go sometimes to the old age home in Durban or Cape Town or PE in those days when we should travel, so you must remember then they used to tell me stories. I used to cry with them, but I should tell them that don't curse your children, because then it will be finished for them. But they would curse them in front of me. But do you really blame them? 5 years, Auntie Kala is there. Where are you, children? Don't you have shame? Remember what they did to your mother. You, that the same thing your children, grandchildren will do to you. And every moment Allah's curse is on you. You must remember, in Islam we never have this concept of old age home, Muslim old age home. What nonsense is that? Just put Muslim there and Islam there, and just to try and make it something acceptable. You, the children, you, the family, you are responsible for that. You must remember that. So this is a major, major indictment upon you, the children. Take your, the du'as of your parents and see how far you will go in life. And dump them and then have one lousy Father's Day and Mother's Day like the satanic Western system, and then go there, oh Father, I love you. Oh Mother, I love you. All satanic business, all this, as far as Islam Islam goes. Every day is Father's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Kalama. So I just tell you one thing, that say, Ya Allah, give my children hidayat before the real punishment comes. Mm. Otherwise, it's curtains for them. One tear of the mother, one bad dua, the dua she makes against you, children, remember, it's curtains for you. That ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom, falaysa baynahu wa bayn Allah hijab. Go open Musnad Ahmad, go open Kanzul Ummal and that. Fear the dua, the bad dua, the bad dua of the oppressed person. Between the oppressed person and Almighty Allah, there is no curtain, no veil. Meaning, isharatun ila suratil ijaba. Allah Jalla wala accepts the dua of the oppressed person immediately and instantly. Beware, O children, beware. Fear Allah. That's all I can tell you, but you're a disgrace. Remember that, that you dumped your parents or your father or your mother in the old age home.
I see a listener says, hi guys, my name is Laura. I've been listening and following you guys. Is there any book I can read about Palestine? I just want to know how all this hatred, killing, murdering, torture started. And who's wrong, sir? Can I have your personal email address? Laura, KZN, Ustad.
My sister Laura, it is very straightforward. You must remember that the whole world, unless the person is suffering from a jaundiced eye, everybody knows who is the aggressor, who is the transgressor, who's stealing the land, who is murdering the people, who is killing. 14 years, you must remember, has passed on the siege on Gaza. Do you call that humanity? 97% of the water there cannot be used by the Palestinians, but the world, the so-called civilized world, they are silent because these are Jews, these are whiteys, and so forth. From 1948 and prior to 1948, you want books, I give you certain keywords, just write it down. Hagana, just put the H-A-G-A-N-A or double G, Hagana or Hagana, put Stern Gang and speak, see what terrorism they committed. You must remember that. Then see in 1948 how, you must remember, ethnic cleansing took place of the Palestinians, the land that belongs to them for 1,000 years. The Jews came, and remember, this is the plot of the Zionism. Zionists have hijacked Judaism. You want books, you must remember, go, my sister, the Friends of Palestine. Just go to that website, the Friends of Palestine. They are based in UK, and you will find everything there. And you must remember, non-Muslims have also wrote on this. Karen Armstrong has written. I have her book by me. And you must remember that Morrison has written. So many. Just read the Haaretz newspaper, and you will see what that Amira Hess writes, what Gideon Levy writes, all of them. They're not Muslims, they're Jews. But they have some sense, not all, but they have some sense of justice. How, you must remember, Israel is a rogue, apartheid terrorist regime. You must remember that. You want my personal email? Sure. AK Hussein. I prefer WhatsApp. I'll give you both. AK Hussein, AKHOOSEN at gmail.com. And if you want, send me a WhatsApp, because I receive too many queries, so I just send out voice messages. 071-888-1184. But only one thing, keep your questions very brief and concise. Thank you, Sister Laura.
Ustad, I see Brother Arjun says that, AK, you know that God is watching you 24 hours a day. Arjun says, you guys waste a lot of time in prayer while you could do something more constructive in your praying times 5 times a day. Roughly works out to about 1 hour every day, which is wasted daily. So why can't you just pray when needed? Arjun, Ustad.
So if Almighty Allah, the Supreme Being, our Creator, tells us, I gave you eyes, Arjun, I gave you ears, Arjun, I gave you nose, and I gave you all your faculties and so forth, so why then you don't need the eyes when you are sleeping? So Allah takes our eyes away. Allah Ta'ala takes our tongue and our taste and all that away when we are not eating. Then Almighty Allah takes our hearing away while we're sleeping. What will you say, brother Arjun, that we show our loyalty, our dedication to our Creator. We don't pray five times a day. We pray much more than that. You must remember, five times is what people come to know. But in the darkness of the night, in the brightness of the day, they are voluntary prayers which we pray to show our love for Almighty Allah. Let me give you an analysis, my brother Arjun, because you are a person who have been taken away by the secular world. Secularism means to build a godless society. If you know anything about secularism and communism and so forth, they used to say that, you must remember, religion is the opium of the masses. That was the one of the mantra and mantras used by the communists. They say this religion is just a waste of time. God forbid, Allah forbid. It is the opium of the masses. And the secularists, they say, take out religion. You see, therefore, these constitutions, Islamically, they're not worth the paper on which they are written. What good is a constitution that allows abortion? What good is a constitution that allows, you must remember, gay marriages, Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve? What good is a constitution, you must remember, that allows prostitution and so forth? I'm asking these questions. So you must remember, once you remove religion, you remove divine rights, and you only focus on human rights, that's a recipe for disaster. What good it did to South Africa? You must remember, we're one of the most corrupted countries in the world. We are one of the most crime-riddled countries in the world. We have one of the gay capitals in Cape Town. So what good it did? Now, I want to show you a lesson, my brother Arjun. I hope that you remove the jaundiced eyes and understand. You see, just now, I will leave you and I will go and pray in the mosque. And when the masjid, we say, I'll read two rakats, and that is, I already read my two rakats, two units before that, and then I will read two, what is compulsory upon me, because I thank Almighty Allah for the sense of touching. I'm here in the studio, there's a table in front of me, I'm putting my hand there, so I can tell you whether it's hot or cold. So now remember, we read our two rakats, and I will be reading now, just now, so we thank Allah for the sense of touching. Then 12:15, 12:45, I'll be again in the mosque, and I will read four rakats, four units, to thank Almighty Allah for the sense of hearing. I can hear from all four directions, whether it's the lion roaring or whether it's my wife calling. So that is number two. Then when it is 4:30, 5:00, 5:15, so we are again in the mosque for the late afternoon prayer. Again four rakats, four units. That's why, to thank Almighty Allah for the sense of smell, that aroma that comes from my wife cooking, the fragrance that I put on my body, on my clothing, or the horrible, terrible stench and smell that comes from some places. So we thank Almighty Allah for the sense of smelling. When I read a prayer that after sunset, then I thank Almighty Allah for the sense of sight. I can see in front, I can see on the right, I can see on the left. So three rakats, three units I read. And then when before 8:00, 8:30 or so, we read, and before we go and retire and sleep, four units, four rakats, to thank Almighty Allah for the sense of taste. The liquid and the solids we have is either sweet, sour, salty or bitter. What you say now, Arjun? Is it what we wasting our time, or are we showing our loyalty to our greatest benefactor, and that is Almighty Allah? You say you must only pray when there's sickness in your house, when there's calamity in your family. Do you think that you are the slave of Allah, or God is your slave? What you say, Arjun?
He says, brilliant, perfect answer. I pray for you, AK Ustad Arjun.
I pray for you to become Muslim, my brother. That is our prayer for whole humankind.
I see Ra'is says, corruption, corruption, corruption. Ustad, how government has set a perfect example of how we citizens should live. Is there any country in the world that is not corrupt? I can't even go for Umrah without being charges. Where is our freedom? Rais, Ustad.
Rais, you must remember that we say what the Saudi government authorities have done is totally haram. You must remember, from an Islamic perspective, all these conditions they have imposed and so forth are un-Islamic. And remember, it's just to do curry favor with the West and boot licking. That, in a simple term, is what it is. And remember, corruption is not everywhere in the world. There will be corruption, but the percentage will be much less. If you go to a place like New Zealand, you must remember that you will find that the corruption is very, very little, maybe 1%, 0.25%. And you come to our countries, that you know it's the rule. You must remember that. It's not the exception. Mm-hmm. It's the rule that I'm driving 160, 170, 150. I'm wrong, 100%. But I'm giving example now. So now, yes, sir. So now we say, Baba, let's negotiate. What you want? You want the KFC or Tata Lamali? You understand? So you want the money or the KFC? You say, no, give me that. We all know these things, yeah. So you must remember this. So what you expect? From top to bottom, the rot is there, you must remember. But that does not mean that me and you become corrupt. Understand this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the only rahmat, the mercy to the entire universe. And the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, وَلَا تَخُون مَنْ خَانَكَ. Somebody did you wrong. It don't mean you go do other people wrong now. You say, he stole your 50 rand, let me go steal 50 rand, 100 rand from somebody else. No. Two wrongs will not make a right. Remember that. That is Islamic teaching. Islam means justice across the board.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Sister Ronel, the journalist, she says she is into your show every morning, Ustad. Is there any way that we can get hold of or any contact to get hold of Yvonne Redley, Ustad, Ranel?
I don't have any details of her, but you must remember, if you just Google it, and you will find, I'm sure, that certain, you understand, contact details and so forth. And you should contact her, Ranel, and read her book, In the Hands of the Taliban, that when the world saw that she was captured by the Taliban, that she told me this personally when she came. She said, when the Taliban released me, they told me, oh, sister, Sister Yvonne, this is a gift to you we are giving. It's an English translation Quran. Read it with an open mind. Go. The world is waiting for you. All the world media were there. The main players were there. Your CNN, your BBC, and this, and all. She told me this personally. And she said they were waiting. That I must say that they tortured me. They pulled out my nails. They hit me, assaulted me. But I could not do that. I said, the Taliban treated me as a guest. No. They would not even look in my eyes and make eye contact. They were people who had so much modesty and manners and character. And this is the, he said, all of them one by one took a U-turn and went away. And this is what made me and prompted me to write the book In the Hands of the Taliban. This is what prompted me to embrace Islam, my sister Ranel. You are a white journalist. Speak the truth. You must remember that. Not to curry favor with the bosses. You must remember, said to say, I'm not making judgment on you, Ranel. I'm making a judgment on majority of the press. Today, it's not prostitutes only, it's prostitutes also. You must remember, there will be a slant always with the Zionist media control. We have to curry favor with the editors. We have to curry favor with the bosses. We have to curry favor with the mainstream, otherwise we will be marginalized. I'm in media 20 years plus, so I know how media works, my sister Ranel. Remember, never do that. Speak the truth. Remember, Almighty Allah will. You see, George Galloway, why is he fired here and there? He speaks the truth. The Zionists hate his guts, you must remember that. Dave Milner was fired now from the university. Did you carry the story? Did you carry the story, Ranel, of Milner? Why was he fired? Because of the Zionist lobby and so forth. These are the stories you should be carrying. You must remember that if you want to do. Otherwise, just to go with the flow, that anybody can do. The true journalist is the one who thinks out of the box.
Ranel says, yes, I did, sir. And she said, you will live very long, Sir Ranel Ustad.
Thank you. Very good. One day, yet I hope I live long and you embrace Islam. That is my prayer for you. Last question.
I mean, Ustad, I think you do remember Joshua. He says, could you please just give me one verse from the holy book, the Quran, so I can believe in the Holy Quran. This is Joshua. Just one verse for me to believe in the Holy Book, Ustad.
Right. Coming up, Joshua, uncle in the furniture business, Joshua Doe. So anyway, Joshua, my brother, Yusha. Yusha means handsome. So write down, chapter 15, verse 9. Chapter 15, 1-5, verse 9. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. Verily, we revealed, Almighty Allah uses the royal pronoun to stamp His authority, sovereignty, majesty, a symbol of respect and reverence. We revealed the noble Quran, the reminder to humanity. Wa inna lahu lahafidun, and we protect it, we preserve it. No addition, no omission, no interpolation. What will you say, Joshua, when I tell you in South Africa, over 10,000-20,000 Muslims, male, female, adult, and small children, 7, 8, 9 years old, have by hearted the entire Quran Sharif, the noble Quran, 6,236 ayat and verses, and 114 chapters. It is still in its pristine purity. From the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, till today, till the doomsday and the last day, no pope, no priest can say that they have one Bible, one. That same Bible was revealed to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. No rabbi, no Jew can tell you they have one Torah that was revealed exactly the same in the original language to Prophet Moses. You object on them, they'll tell you you're anti-Semite. But that is the reality. Only Islam has this, that our book, our constitution remains in its pristine purity. Our message is global. Our constitution remains perfect. No amendments needed. Mad amendments come when it is man-made. Remember that. I hope that will inspire you, Joshua, to embrace the constitution and embrace Islam. May Allah guide you and guide all of us. I have to go for prayer, my brother Arjun. I have an appointment with my creator. Assalamu alaikum.